just enjoy the the time. He was just fun because I a lot of redneck connections, but anyhow, they hang these they're different weights, lead weights they cast, and they cast them in different things, and I bet you can't guess what I used. And I was like, show me, you know, all I want to see now that we've been challenged. So I got it right off the bat, but his were shaped like a corn cob, so they pour theirs in a cornbread tin that's shaped like a cob. And if you've ever seen cornbread, that's like a cornbread tin that looked like a corn cob, it's like, come on, that's, you gotta have something tougher than that. But he said, people, the different families have different shapes, so when you're out fishing and you go to pull a line or you forget whose is who, you pull it up, it's just like a cow brand. You, oh, not ours. Even if there's a fish on there, put it back. Not mine. And he said people had different ones, but just a blessing. We're going to be praying for him. And I put a name on the back of the long-term prayer list on the salvations. I named Simon. And we don't have last name because we don't want to put it out there. But it is it's just a gentleman out there in the village out in St. Mary's needs Christ. And he is just somebody needs the Lord. He's just somebody that's just a tough case for brother Israel. And I said, boy, just give us his name. We'll just make mention of that and just keep praying. I don't know how it's going to take. God just opened the heart of some of these native guys and just do a work. I mean, just, he's got to do it. There's nobody's going to come up here with a plan and just, it has to be God just do it. And God, would you do it? And Brother Israel is super humble, and I want to make sure we remember a gentleman named Simon in prayer for salvation out in St. Mary's, and that'd be a great blessing. All right, we're in Genesis chapter 2. We've been going through Genesis on Sunday nights, and got the whole Bible. You got to preach somewhere. But no, on Sunday nights, we're working on doctrine, and we want to make sure we're going through some of these things for creation doctrine. And the seed plot for the Bible, if you look at Genesis and you look at Romans, a lot of the doctrinal teachers, super heavy doctrine books. And Genesis, as we go through in chapter 2, we see the creation of man. We see God's plan for man, God's design for man. In 26, the chapter 1, that we're made in the likeness of God. We didn't show up. We're not slime creatures. We didn't evolve. We were created by God. God's words put us where we're at. God's word made us what we are. And God has a plan for us. God has a plan for you, and He has a plan for me. He has a plan for the family. He has a. We see here in chapter 2, the institution of the family that's put in place. Our nation, we are a nation of messed up families. I mean, as you look around the world, you say, you look at who values family, and we'll show you people that are going somewhere in communities. And then you put the Lord in there, and you see Him really going strong. But strong families, very, very important. It's just a blessing to hear people my age and even younger than me sounding the alarm about families in this day and age, in this time, and saying, look, we don't need legislation. We need families. We need families that'll stick together. We need fathers that'll stay home and raise their children, not sire humans, right? They'll father children. That's where the work is. Get in there and do it. And man, when I see dads doing stuff with their kids on the media and different things, man, I try to always comment. I love family pictures. I see a dad or taking their daughter fishing or whatever and say, good on you, dad. Good work. Way to go. We need that. We need it so badly, but we'll try to get there tonight if we can. Verse 7, we got through verse 6, and it's all the things that God had made. We've gotten down to, I think we, last of my notes, we left off here, we're in verse number 7. Verse 7, Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. I don't complain about dirt, you know, and dusty stuff. That's where we came from. You're like, thinking dust and we're this dusty in here that we came from the dirt, right? That's where we're from. And that's where we're going. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you so much for your goodness. And Father, your creative power is just, it's amazing. And we're just in it. We're just here. And Father, we want to do your will. We want to live our lives in such a way to bring glory to thee and to exhort others to do so likewise, Father, to encourage others in their time on this earth, Father, and encourage them to walk with you. And Father, to seek your will for their life and to receive the blessings of it. Father, no doubt not without challenge and not without setbacks and ups and downs, Father, but what joy and what a blessing to know we're on the right track and we're doing the right thing. Father, we just pray that you work in hearts tonight. If there be one without Christ, that you would speak to that heart tonight. Thank you so much for the work put in by our young people. Thank you for the special tonight. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to work in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. My grandpa and my uncle worked in a aluminum plant. It was an aluminum dig site in Addy, Washington. It was an Alcoa plant. And Washington State has several aluminum-producing plants. It takes a lot of electricity, so usually it's associated with the hydro somewhere close. It takes a lot of electricity to get the ore hot to make the aluminum. And we would always get a truckload of sand every spring early. And Grandpa had an old dump truck, and man, he'd fire up that thing, and it just roared to life. And it sat all the rest of the year. I mean, it just like we'd crawl in it and play in it. When it rained, we always ran down there because we thought like we were going to have our own swim pool, right? I mean, because here's a dump truck bed, right? And it's just going to like be full of water waiting for us, right? But everybody, all the adults, that's not what happens, right? There's cracks in the back, and there's gaps out, water goes out. But we'd crawl up in there. It was one of the best hiding spots. When we got big enough, we could leg over the side of that dump truck and get up in there. Then you get stuck in the dump truck. You get somebody up there that shouldn't be up there, and it can't get out. You know, but, man, we love sand day. It was the best. And Grandpa show up, and, man, we'd get down there and dump all that sand, and we'd play in that sand for him. We'd get that thing spread out all everywhere, and our sand pile gets small, and next spring, Grandpa would go get a load of sand and bring it. We made so much stuff with sand. We just made stuff. I mean, I remember digging to China. We made it about 2 feet and gave up. But I said, I remember trying, you know. I mean, we had our trucks. I mean, that's back when toys were toys, kids. I mean, like real toys. We caught the end of the good age there. I mean, there's still some of them floating around. Why? Because they were made out of metal right in there. You couldn't burn them. They were metal, you know, and they had plastic tires on there that were hard as well. And, man, they were Tonkas. And, man, they would just go. We would make stuff in the dirt. It was awesome. And sometimes we get to go to the river and you're like, man, I want to make a sand castle. And you take your stuff and you build all your thing. Your brother comes through and wipes it all away or steps in it. Or your wave comes, you're at the beach, it washes up and washes it all away. All your work's gone. You're trying. But the idea tonight is you mess around in the dirt and I've messed around in the dirt. But I've never seen anybody get up out of the dirt. Ever. Never. I've never even had anything last in the dirt. Usually something happens to it. Rain comes and takes it away. Wind takes it away. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. I don't even know what it would look like. I don't even know. It's just a little bit of dust in the sand. I don't even know what it would look like. I have no idea. But the Bible says God in his breath, into his nostrils, the breath of life. Somehow out of that dust, there are some nostrils there. The Bible says man became a living soul. I don't even have to have a biochemistry degree to. I just got to be able to read verse 7 right there. Just be like, right there. Well, how do you think it happened? Just right here. Right here. You can't prove it happened. You can't prove it didn't happen. I mean, you just can't. It's right there. God said it happened. And I look around and I see men and women all over the place. So something happened, right? God spoke. They didn't just show up. Verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden. And it's interesting to me, because when we go through chapter 1, the Bible says, God said, God saw, God said, God said, God said, God said, God made, God said, God said, God said, God made, all over the place. God blessed. And look at verse number 8. And the Lord God planted. I already just did it with his mouth, but it's just interesting to me how in chapter 1 he said, did, saw, whatever, but here he planted. He took dirt in his hand and made a man. And I don't know if he went through and said, you know, and got in the dirt at all. I don't know. We know he got in the dirt for Adam. But it's neat to see that God thinks of us individually. There wasn't a million people. There was just one man that he's made. And he went and prepared a place for who? Just that person, just that man. And that's been God's pattern for every last person on this planet. There is nobody in this world that's a nobody throwaway person. The unmarked grave, the people lost and never known, the unnamed, there is nobody that doesn't count to God. There is nobody that is not loved by God. God has prepared a place, the Bible says here, for Adam, and he cares about us very much. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. Made man, made a place for him, took him, and put him in that place. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. I love tributaries. I like rivers. And the cool thing about Alaska is they change all the time. When we first moved up, the Matanuska was hungry, and it was eating away the river, or eating away the road, and it just kept coming. And I just remember they brought in the biggest shredder I'd ever seen. I mean, they were grabbing cottonwoods, I mean, the biggest cottonwoods on the river, and just shoving them in this thing like a straw. I was amazed. Guys, I can get distracted by that. And I just watch this. Turn this whole cottonwood tree into just chips in seconds. I'm like, grab another one. Let's go. There's a whole bunch of you while you're at it. Just keep going. I was just like, this is awesome. And then like side dump by side dump. And then, boom, they dump this load of rock in. And, you know, and everybody's hoping, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Who knows? Road washes away, big deal. Like, you know, we got so many of them around here. We'll just get, no, probably not. We'd have been stuck. But still, keep dumping it. Hey, two winters later, that water's half a mile away. It's flowing down a different channel. You just see it, it's going a different way. Here's a river here, four heads to it. The Bible says the name of the first is Pison, that is, it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Think you put Adam in a good spot? There's gold in the land. And gold of that land, the Bible says, is good. We'll say, what's bad gold? I don't know. I just think it was gold in big chunks. I watch a guy on Instagram that's, anyways, every so often, the mammoth tusks and stuff. And then the other day, he had a guy holding a nugget. It was huge. I was like, man, that's pretty cool. But it had a few other rocks in there and stuff. It wasn't, you know, Bugs Bunny gold brick, you know, you find out in the bullion or nothing. It had other stuff in it, but it was awesome. And I just imagine good gold would be something that would be high density and not a lot of other things in it, impurities, those sort of things. The gold of that land is good. There's delium and the onyx stone, the very, very beautiful, very expensive, precious stones. The name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. So you're saying, boy, he's in names in Africa. That's what we're talking about. South of Israel, over there, fertile place, water over there, weather's nice over there. Those places. And the name of the third river, Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. It's a pretty simple story. God made man. God made the garden. Chapter 1, God made all the everything listed there. He made earth. He made the water. Made the sky. Made the animals. Made the plants. Put the seed of those things in itself. It's not hard. You open up an organism, you start looking for seeds. If it's an animal or type of thing, you got germ seeds. The sex cells. I mean, they have them. If they grow up and mature and become sexually mature and they reproduce, then they have more that look just like them. It's not a mystery. It's not. It really isn't. I get that fruit and we look up, there's a seed in there. If I put that seed in the dirt and it dies, I mean, we've got starts at the house right now. Got your little plants going for springtime. The gardeners do anyways. We're giving it a go, you know. And it's fun, right? The next day you run up there and look. Then another, you know, but when you're first starting, it's just And all the seeds got to die and break and sprout and come up. God's done all those things. It's not a mystery. I'm not going to get a surprise. Every once in a while, maybe if you got like a seed mixed in a batch of something else that wasn't supposed to be there, you may get a surprise. But God's not about that. God's a God of order. The Bible says in verse number 16, the Lord God commanded the man. Okay? As people get hung up on Ten Commandments and they don't ever look at what God says. Just I don't know, I don't get it. It's like, well, God could have Ten Commandments. Like, you ever listen to what God says? Read what He says. If you look at somebody and the only thing you hear is their commandments, do you hear anything else they say? Do you hear about any compliments? Do you hear about any of the wisdom they got? Oh, just the commands, the things that got to come to us. There's a lot of commandments before the Ten Commandments. Read the Bible. It's free. Read it. The Bible says in verse number 26, chapter 1, that He was giving, He had created man, and He said, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea. That's their job. And over the cattle. That's their job. Well, there's some people that hate the fact that those words are in Scripture that man is supposed to dominate nature. Yeah, we are. We're supposed to use it and be stewards of it and wise when we do it. Not greedy. If you have greed in things, it ruins things. It's sad looking at hillsides that are naked. I'm not for that. I said there should be stands, but it should be selective, but we should use them. In Washington, it's gotten to the point where there's some place, that's how Washington works now, there's a lot of it, we're going to protect this part. So it burns. Burns down. It burns. Then you got somebody that says, no, you know what, we should be stewards. So they buy a chunk of land, they plant trees, cut them down, send them to the paper mill, plant more trees, have starts, do this part, then leave that for about 10 years, and then do this part, and they just rotate them. Any fires in that part? No, not really. It's managed. It's taken care of. It's used. Trees are just big plants. I mean, really? They're just big plants. They're to be used. God gave a command, and He said He put Adam over it. In chapter number 2, another command. The Bible says, verse 16, Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. How is that for a command? Pretty awesome. I remember the first candy shop I ever walked into. I said, man alive, there are people that work here? Why, I really get paid money? Like, this is amazing. I mean, first time I ever saw like bulk bin candy, I just thought, who's looking? You know, I was like, this is amazing. This has got to be half the candy of the whole world in these. Unbelievable. He said, hey, what a command. It isn't, don't do that. He said, hey, here's your food. Every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. And then 17, but of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good that man shall be alone. I will make him and help me for him. So we have our first don't, okay? In verse number 17 of chapter 2, the Bible says in 9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Every tree. Then 2, He said, don't. Just 2. Just says, don't. Then again, He looks back to the man and He said, it's not good that man should be alone. And I'll put a little plug in there, and that's even good for Alaskans not to be alone. I read the books. The pilots go out, preacher, the pilots go out and they check on trappers and they check on, and they'll use the phrase bushy. They're like, so-and-so's getting bushy, or he got bushy, or you just get goofy. I'm just saying. I remember listening to, before we moved up, I'd watch Last Alaskans, and Bob Hart would say, there's some years I don't use enough words. He said, I only use probably 10, 15 words, because he just talks to his dog. And he just thought, you just don't use words. You get around people, and it's almost intimidating, because they're used to being around people, and they talk fast, and it's just, can you imagine? It's just not good. Oh, but Brother Keith, someday that I just can't stand people and I just want to go far away. Yeah, I get it. I get it. But it's not good to be that way all the time. It's not good. Say, well, I just want to be alone. No, it's not about being alone. The Bible says, no man liveth unto what? Himself. No man dieth unto himself. Well, I'm going to go ahead and die. Nobody's going to know. No, it's not true. Absolutely not true. And somebody's going to have to go out and fetch you. So don't do it. All right? Somebody's going to have to go out and tell your family what happened. Don't do it. It's not good for man to be alone. Who said that? God did. Well, it's my opinion that... No, it's not. God said it's not good to be alone. When people start being alone, watch for them. Think about them. Check on them. Pray for them. If you have an older somebody that's your neighbor, and just kind of know about their habits a little bit. I mean, I know my neighbor's habits. If it was quiet, and I know it's like, this is too weird, just a wellness checks. I've called on people before. You can call troopers. You can call people and say, this Keith, I say, hey, it's not an emergency. I don't think it's an emergency, but I just, you know, my neighbor, I care about him, and I haven't seen him. Can I get a wellness check coming around? Right? And come and check on him. Show him that you care. Say, well, you're being intrusive. And I get the whole Alaskan thing. Leave me alone and stay away. I get it, all right? But to know that somebody cares and to say, hey, you're not alone. You're not alone. That's some of the best words you ever hear. You're not alone. You're not alone. It's not good. He says, I'll make him an helpmeet for him. Make somebody to help him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Now, you know the narrative. Man was a Neanderthal. Then they got smart and dug caves. And then they did some other things. I don't know, grunted maybe and scratched. And then they did some other things. And I don't know. You know, found fire and what. Look at one of man's first jobs. He said, all the trees except these two, I'm going to make you help me. I want you to name all these animals for me. How many college degrees do you got to have to be Adam? Nothing. God just said, and God wasn't like, that's a giraffe, Adam. It's a giraffe, a long neck one. And by the way, giraffe commercial. Has anybody watched giraffes fight? Has anybody seen giraffes fight? You know those knobbies on the top of their head? They go like this with their necks. I'm dead serious. I'm not kidding. It's just like, and they throw their head into their buddy. It's just brutal. I'm like, dude, your neck. I mean, yeah, you're hitting his neck, but like your neck, man. I just like, it's unbelievable. God brings these animals to Adam. And you're like, whoa. Or, all right, Lord, where? Oh, there it is. You know, little tiny thing. All the animals. They're amazing. He wanted to see what Adam would call them. Every living creature, Bible says, that was the name thereof. I had to get passed down. Who has to remember all those names? Adam, I think Eve's the secretary. She's not on the scene yet, but I'm just thinking, he's got to remember them because then he's got to pass them down. Everything back in the day got passed down, right? Before the black box in the back came along and everything was recorded in the computer, you had to share the name, right? Why are there petroglyphs? Anybody go look at petroglyphs on the rocks? We look at them in Idaho. They're cool. They're awesome. Like, what is that? It's storytelling. It's passing that stuff down. How do you explain to a little kid what a buffalo is? It's like, right there. That guy right there. Oh, here. Yep, that's it right there. You draw a picture and you pass that stuff down. That was Adam's job. Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found and help meet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Man and woman. We get it. But how much air is going to be used up tomorrow talking about the other 83 genders or 53. Don't even put up with that. Don't even put up with that stuff. Don't even. I'm telling you, as soon as it comes to a school near me, it is straight to the principal. I'm saying, hey, let's have a talk. This is crazy. I want my day in class. If you're going to teach that, I'm going back to teacher mode, and I get to teach this. And let them decide. And then it's me like, here, no, we're not going to school there no more. I mean, I read a meme the other day. You're sitting here eating crayons, sticking glue up your nose, peas in your ears, but you're going to decide your gender? Lord help us. It's insane. Like, this is, what a mess. What a mess. Male and female. God's plan, not our plan. This is the problem. Is people want to get away from God's plan. Remember Romans 1. They didn't want to even retain God in their memory, the Bible said. We don't even want to think about Him. Don't say His name. Don't bring up His plan. His plan. What are we to do? What are we to do? We're to come together. We're to marry. God has put man and woman together. The Bible says in verse number 22, God made the woman and brought her unto the man. God's plan, a perfect helpmeet for Adam, was God's plan. God made it possible. God made it work. 23, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. And why not? He named everything else. Why not? Woman. Because she was taken out of man. In verse 24 and 25, we'll use it at couples retreat. It's so important to see. Look here, young people. Okay? Super important. 24 and 25. Super important. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Okay? When it is time to get married, when it is time to continue what God has started, okay? I mean, this isn't a decision that takes place quickly. There's time involved. There's a process involved. There's approval that's involved. And if you're a man, bless God, you'll go and ask her dad, sir, what are your intentions? only good intentions. This doesn't get done anymore. It's amazing. Right? Well, go ask her dad. If the guy doesn't have a dad himself, he doesn't know what that's all about. And you have to go and help somebody. I'll get the kids at the high school, but you know, and I'll lay this stuff on them. And I'm almost like, come on, man. Are you married to her? Get your hands off her. You're caught taking dogs. I leave her alone. Did you talk to her dad? I mean, we had a situation this fall, and it was like, have you talked to her dad? And the next day, it was taken care of. Bless God. I love dads. It's a blessing. I mean, you got a trouble with a young person, then go find your dad. That's the, don't tell my dad. Hey, well, just straighten up. When the time comes, we go and ask. And the Bible says, when they come together, the Bible says they're to leave father and mother. So what's the big deal? I got a brother, and his wife didn't leave father and mother. Instead, she left him. That's not God's plan. You're to leave father and mother and to be one family. Right there. And they use all kinds of words today, the family unit and all this, whatever. Husband and wife. Husband and wife. I saw something the other day, and you have all, and again, going into the gender thing. I don't even worry about the new words. There's no rational basis, no biblical basis for how these people are living, so they try to catch you up on what you're going to redefine words and redefine terms and this term means that I'm choosing to be this or recognized as this or whatever. And there's two of them living in a home, and they got two kids in the home. I'm like, oh, my soul, those poor kids. They try to figure out. You don't even know how you, what you are. what you're doing. And you don't know what you are and what you're doing, but we're leading kids into that mess. What a deal. What a mess. We're come apart from our father and our mother. Now you learn all you can while you're at home. That's what you're doing. I don't even know what I'm doing. I can't wait to get out of the house. How much have you learned so far? Couldn't fill a thimble, right? I mean, hopefully not here, but if I preach, I'd say, I mean, just learn something. Learn responsibility. Learn what it takes. Ask them some questions. How does this work? What's on that card anyway? Is it full of money? I never see money come out of it, but you always use it at the store. Teach them. Learn. It's what you're supposed to be doing. Because there's going to be a time where you're going to come away from mom and dad. And it's not, oh, we're in trouble. We've got to go back to mom and dad's house, figure it out. No, you don't. You're come away from mom and dad. And you're to be another family. Another family. That's God's plan. God's plan. One flesh. 25, Bible says, they were both naked. And the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. This world is perverted sexually. I mean, it's around every corner. It's unreal. It's unreal. And can't believe it. And it's just deep. It's deep. It goes to the top, and it just truly makes me think of Sodom. And here's Lot living amongst these people, right? And it's not just homosexuality, it's just all kinds of perversion. It's everywhere. It's amongst the rich people, it's amongst poor people, it's amongst the elites. It is just every, you think like, well, they don't have to do that, but they do that. When they're without God, there's no restraint on it. It's crazy. You look at them like, what are we doing? Why are we doing that? You don't have to do that. God has a plan for that. Verse 25, nobody's ashamed there. You got people resigning, you got people having to come out of office. You have the people to go and, I mean, even in the ministry, if you go leave the ministry and read it. Why? Not following God's plan, just doing whatever we want, making a mess of the thing. If we'd follow what God has for us, we'd do well. We'd do very well. God looked at Adam, God looked at Eve, they're blessed, and He said, be fruitful, multiply. You do it. Getting married's awesome. Is it a ton of work? Yes, it's a ton of work. Right? I got Sabrina and Josh up here to have many kids. They've been riding around with us and our kids. Be quiet back there. I'll pull this car over. You know, it's awkward. Got them right behind you and say, hey, duck so I can throw my shoe at my kid. Look out. And how are you guys all doing anyway? You know, it's just like, we're not a good commercial for children are a blessing. You know, master has to go, but I don't know any other way. Got to raise them, and they got to survive. Bless God. They got to do it. Okay. Yes, it's a challenge. Do it the right way. I challenge somebody and say, oh, I'm so with it. Is that your wife? Well, no, but we... And then there's some stories. I hear a few stories. There's somebody, well, we were living together. So we got in church, and we found out that, hey, they don't know what we're supposed to be doing. I had the character to get out and go live somewhere and then got married. That's a character thing. That's great. That's humbling yourself and say, you know what? This isn't the right thing. But we're going to choose to do the right thing. Let's do this. You're going to have a story to tell. You're going to have a story to tell. You tell your kids, well, what did mom and dad do? Well, they just lived together. Oh, well, that's okay for me to live together. And you can't tell them otherwise. It's shot. You're not going to explain to them, well, don't do like we did. That ain't going to work. That's not going to work. They're going to throw that in your face all day long. Have character. Do the right thing. Do the best you can to do the right thing. Are we going to mess up? Yes, you're going to have some mistakes. And have grace for others. And others will have grace for you. And God will have grace for you. We want to see Him make it. I'd love to see our country make it. But I can't go to Washington and say, well, if I just clean out this nest of vipers, and then we're going to be solid. No, I said, man, if we make this home solid, and this home solid, and this home solid, and this community becomes solid, right? And then we go do it over here, and then this state becomes a solid state. I don't want them to be a red state. I want it to be a godly state. If it's godly, it's going to be good. It's going to be a blessing. Is people in the world going to enjoy it? Or are they going to say, oh, wow, we can't be like, no, they're going to hate it. And Satan's going to hate it. But it's going to be in glory to God. I don't care if it's red or blue. I want it to be godly. I don't know what color it'd be if it was godly. Just be godly and follow His plan. Don't confuse the kids, right? We're going to confuse the kids so they don't get married, so there's no families, and then what are we going to have? A mess. We're going to have a hodgepodge of, you know, potato heads. No mister, no missus, just potato heads, just potatoes. Is it a boy or a girl? I don't know. Does it matter? No, just a thing, just a human, right? Life has no value. Make a big deal about babies. Babies are awesome. Are they a lot of work? Yeah, they're a lot of work. Are all of them pretty? No, not all of them are pretty. Are some of them cute? Yes, some are cute, but make a big deal about them. It's exciting. We're pregnant. Hey, wonderful. That's good. That's wonderful. Do that. It's a blessing. Simple. Seems simple, but it's not. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be godly in this day of age, but I'm up for it. I'm so up for it. I'm up for it. For my kids, I'm for your kids, I'm for our kids. I can't wait for camp. I'm excited for camp. Go love on some kids. Get around some kids. They're a little awkward. Get around some kids. They're a little snotty-nosed. Troublemakers. Figure out what makes them go and encourage them for a few days. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a good time. But boy, let us stick with this book. God took dirt and started this whole thing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let's stick with Him. Let's stick with Him. Let's stand and sing tonight our song of invitation. It's 277, Only Trust Him. I'm going to come pray for our country tonight. Altar's open. There's something you need to pray for. It's here, 277. Only trust Him, we'll sing.